This morning, it is not my fault if you do not like my opening joke. This person, Betty Jacobs, gave me this joke. So it's all on her, and she's hitting her head like, oh no, what did I do? Three boys were bragging about their fathers. The first boy said, my dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper, calls it a poem, and he gets paid $50. The second boy said, well, my dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper, calls it a song, and gets paid $100. The third boy said, I have you both beat. My dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper, calls it a sermon, and it takes eight people to collect all the money. So you can tell her how that rates in the quality that you come to expect from my jokes. Yeah. Thank you, Betty. Today we're going to continue in our series on Follow the Star. Don't worry if you missed some of the other ones. It's okay. They're all standalone. But if you want to go back and listen to them, they are online. You can go to our website or you can go on iTunes and search for the church and get them in the podcast section of iTunes. So first we talked about Abraham, then we talked about Gideon, two men who followed bravely. And today we're going to talk about some men and women through history who have sacrificed greatly for the cause of Christ, to follow the star, to follow Jesus. Many of these men and women gave their lives for the sake of the gospel. I want to start right after Jesus' resurrection with the first martyrs. The first empire-wide persecution was in 303 to 311. Diocletian was the emperor at the time, and he was the first person to say, Christianity is illegal and we are going to persecute all Christians in the empire. Previous to that, all the persecutions were done locally and usually led by Jewish leaders who didn't want Jesus being preached. At this time, it was empire-wide and it was done by the Romans. The first martyr, of course, was Stephen. And we read about Stephen's martyrdom in Acts chapter 6 and 7. The text says that Stephen was a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. He performed great wonders and signs. Some from the synagogue, however, didn't like him preaching about Jesus and they argued with him. But Scripture says they were unable to cope with his wisdom and cope with the Spirit that was speaking through him. So the opponents stirred up people to give false testimony about him. They got so riled up from this false testimony that they literally dragged him to the high council. Stephen at the high council was accused of speaking against the law, speaking against the temple, the holy place, and about Mosaic customs. As he began to respond, Scripture tells us that his face looked like that of an angel. He then went on to give a sermon. And in his defense sermon, it was about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Aaron, Joshua, David, and Solomon. All things that those people in the council would be familiar with. And he speaks about them and tells them, these are the people that were following God. And now, look at what you've done to them over the course of history, how you've responded to God's prophets. He says this, and we're going to read a little bit here in verse 51 and following. He ends the sermon with this kind of, hello. You stubborn people. Not a good way to start if you're on trial for treason and heresy. You stubborn people. You are heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did. So and so do you. Name one prophet your ancestors didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah whom you betrayed and murdered. You deliberately disobeyed God's law, even though you received it from the hands of angels. The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusation, and they shook their fists at him in rage. And it really literally means grinding of teeth. They were so angry. But Stephen, it says, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God. He saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And he told them, "Look, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand." Then they put their hands over their ears and began shouting. They rushed at him and dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. His accusers took off their coats and laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul. As they stoned him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He fell to his knees, shouting, "Lord, don't charge them with this sin." And with that, he died. He was the first person after Jesus to give his life for the sake of following Christ. And he did it boldly. This began the persecution by the man named Saul. Chapter 8, verse 3 says that Saul began ravaging the church, dragging off men and women, putting them into prison. Those that were left scattered, but they continued to preach the word. Saul, of course, is the same man, Paul. After he was converted, he became a follower of Christ. And as a follower of Christ, he wrote much of the New Testament. He became an apostle. He preached. He taught. Okay? He was a true follower. And if you think about it, Stephen's prayer was answered in the life of Paul. Because Stephen prayed, "God, don't hold this sin against them." He would have been praying specifically for Paul at that point. And God did not hold that sin against Paul. Instead, he became a great Christian leader. The persecutor became the persecuted. He became someone that was hunted. He became someone that was imprisoned. He became someone who was beaten. Those closest to Jesus, his apostles, all faced martyrdom of some sort or another. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was crucified in 60. He suffered on the cross for 2 days, and according to tradition, he was still preaching to the believers who had gathered around his cross. Bartholomew, he was killed in Armenia, where he was beaten, flayed alive, crucified, and finally beheaded. James, the son of Alphaeus, he was beaten and stoned, finally being clubbed to death in Persia. James, the son of Zebedee, he was the first martyr in AD 43. He was beheaded on the order of King Herod Agrippa. John, he was put over a fire and had hot oil poured on him. He survived and then was exiled to Patmos. After he was freed, he died a natural death. Judas, not Iscariot, was crucified in AD 72 in Turkey. Matthew was killed by a halberd in Ethiopia in AD 60. That's an axe-spear combo weapon. Philip was crucified in Turkey. Simon Peter was crucified upside down by order of Nero. He reportedly was crucified upside down because he didn't feel he was worthy to be crucified in the same way that Jesus was. Simon the Zealot was crucified in 74. Thomas was killed with a spear. Matthias was stoned and beheaded. All of these followers of Christ suffered immensely for continuing to follow Christ after Jesus had died and was resurrected. Other early Christians were also martyred. Ignatius of Antioch, he was a student of the Apostle John. He was taken by force to Rome, thrown into an arena, and devoured by wild animals in about 100. He was supposed to be an example to the people about why you shouldn't follow Christianity, because you'd be thrown into these animals. Jan Hus was killed in 1415. He was a Bohemian religious thinker. It's now the Czech Republic. He was a strong voice for Protestantism. He had a big influence on Martin Luther. He spoke out about the indulgences of the Catholic Church. He wrote 45 articles of faith. These articles were rebuked by the university that he worked at. He was fired from that position, and he was told that he must recant what he wrote. He said he was willing to recant only if he could be shown in Scripture where he was wrong. Some of the things he preached out against was the power of the Pope, saying that only Jesus is a supreme judge. He also believed that people should have the Bible in their own language so that they can read it on their own. He was taken for trial, convicted of heresy because he would not recant. After a high mass and liturgical service, the priest preached about the necessity to rid the church from heresy. He was then burned at the stake. It's said that at the last moment, the imperial marshal asked him to recant to save his life, and he declined. He says, "God is my witness that I have never taught that of which I have been by false witnesses been accused. In the truth of the gospel which I have written, taught, and preached, I will die today with gladness." Francis Ferdinand de Capillus was the first missionary to China. Being in China, he was endured many insults, and he was taken to the worst local prison. He suffered the torture of having his ankles broken and crushed while he was being dragged from prisons. He was scourged, repeatedly beat, and endured his torture without cries of pain so that they would be surprised at him and his faith. He was moved, almost dying, to a prison for those who were condemned to death. His conduct was uplifting, however, and he aroused the admiration of others sentenced to death, and even the prison guards themselves, who snuck him food so that he would not die of hunger. This is what he wrote while he was in prison. "I am here with other prisoners, and we have developed a fellowship. They ask me about the gospel of the Lord. I am not concerned about getting out of here because I know I am doing the will of God. They do not let me stay up at night to pray, so I pray in bed before dawn. I live here in great joy without any worry, knowing that I am here because of Jesus Christ. The pearls I have found here these days are not always easy to find." On January 15, 1648, he was sentenced to death on charges of disseminating false doctrine and inciting people against the new emperor. He was beheaded later that day. A young girl from Uganda, whose name is Susan, you wouldn't recognize her from the photos of the undernourished 13-year-old girl who was tortured for her faith more than 5 years ago. Susan became a Christian in 2009, and her father began beating her. He then locked her in a room for 6 months. Her brother secretly slipped roasted bananas under the door so she could survive. She was rescued when neighbors became concerned and called the police. After her rescue, she was skeletal, weak, and unable to walk or talk. The long-term lack of calcium while locked in the room affected her bones and disrupted her growth and functions in her legs. After multiple surgeries, she can now walk with the assistance of crutches. She is now attending a boarding school where she gets a good education and help for her special needs. She says, "I love school and I work very hard. I find difficulty sometimes, but I have learned to struggle through." One of the Voice of the Martyrs workers that visits her says that she is still happy and full of smiles. Although Susan sometimes feels pain in her knees, she pushes on and continues to smile and to try to walk on her own. She said, "I believe that one day I will be able to walk. I sometimes try walking with one crutch, and if I keep trying, I will eventually walk." In spite of what she went through and how she struggles physically every day, Susan hopes that one day she will make a difference for Christ in the world, and she wants to be able to witness to those who persecuted her. Most of us are never going to be in these types of situations. we're not going to be called into a position where we're going to have to choose between life and Jesus. But in some ways, you have to think maybe we are being asked to do that. You may never be told if you don't recant, you're going to be burned at the stake. You may never be persecuted outrightly for being a Christian. You may never have your possessions stripped away from you for following Christ. But have you really given your life to God the way that He wants us to give our life to God? Because even when we're not facing persecution or a gun to our head, say, will you recant your faith? God still calls us to give Him everything and to place everything we have underneath our desire to follow Him. Have you said to God, I am yours. Do with me as you will. Have you given up your claim on your life and put it in God's hands and say, God, I don't know what you're going to do with me, but I give you everything. We are called to give Him everything. No matter what it is, we are called to submit that to His will. Are there things in your life that you're holding back from God? Are there things that you just can't let go of? Those things need to be items of prayer and confession, because we need to confess to God that we are going to give Him everything. He gave us the greatest sacrifice that one can make. He laid down His life for us. He wants us to respond to that by giving our life to Him, and by worshiping Him, and by submitting to Him, and loving Him, which means that we're loving other people, and giving our entire beings to Christ. Are you willing to go where God wants you to go? Are you willing to do what God wants you to do? Are you willing to say what God wants you to say? These men and women that we talked about today, they were. And the price they paid was their life. Do you have that courage to pray that prayer? Whatever you want from me, God, I will do. Wherever you want me to go, I will go. Whatever you want me to say, I will say. Today we need to think about following the star, following Jesus, totally and completely submitted to Him. Will you pray with me? God, our Father, I just thank You for the gift of Your Son, Jesus, and I thank You that we have the opportunity to worship today. I pray that if there are those here today that have not submitted their lives to You, God, that You would touch them and work in their hearts in such a way that they would say, you know what, God, I'm sick of living this life on my own. I'm ready to give it all to You. I pray today that You would touch our hearts by the power of Your Spirit and help us all to love You and serve You completely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.